Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
We live in a day and age where we're very health conscious and we always find new ways to eat healthier, enjoy life better, but still stay healthy. So you've got all these different diets like keto diet and whatnot, right?
Yeah, got all of them. Paleo, Whole30, oh, such a list.
You're a vegetarian. That's a whole thing as well.
Yeah, that's a whole lifestyle right there. However you go, you might as well do it all the way by loading up on your superfoods or super ingredients and never sacrificing taste, of course.
Super ingredients. What is that exactly? I mean, apparently, there is quite an extensive list of super ingredients, you know.
Well, my dear colleague, let me put you in the frame.
Okay.
Matcha, kava,
right.
Kudzu, seaweed, quinoa, kombucha, chia seeds, goji berries, cacao, kimchi, acai, and even turmeric. So I'm from an Indian tradition. Turmeric is big in my heritage. Anti-inflammatory, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I've learned something new. All right, so in addition to being packed with vitamins, minerals, other nutrients, many of these ingredients are said to reduce the risk of heart disease, some even proven, right? To reduce the risk of cancer as well, improve brain function, help fight memory loss. I think I need that. Most importantly, helps you lose weight and it provides a ton of other health benefits.
I wasn't going to say anything. No, I'm just kidding. But has the demand for super ingredients increased due to COVID-19? Because, you know, people are trying to build up their immune systems. They want to be healthier, be able to resist this virus.
Very good point. Have we become more health conscious? You know, do we start thinking more about whatever we consume because we're hearing reports of this pandemic? Well, let's find out from Harry Boot, President, Asia Pacific Food and Beverage Solutions at Tate and Lyle. Harry, good morning.
Good morning, Elliot.
Well, we've been talking about super ingredients. Let's talk about first this change in preference. Where F&B preference is concerned. I mean, are we seeing a significant shift, Harry?
First of all, thank you for having me on your show, and thanks to FAA for coordinating this interview in the last couple of days, which were fascinating. You know, it's ultimately critical, which I also participated in, and it's critical ultimately to have industry leaders, regulators, academia, and regional NGOs discuss these latest change. But to get back to your question, absolutely. There's been major changes in consumer shopping behaviors, right? We see an increase in online shopping and takeouts to ultimately avoid public spaces. And the public health crisis has led consumers exploring various ways to prepare and enjoy tasty meals at home. When, of course, shopping in store, you buy more one-in-one go, and ultimately you're going less frequently. So more ambient shelf-stable products are very much on the rise. And then if you look at the increase in demand for food and drinks, you know, there's definitely an increase in added value benefits that support the balance of immunity, right? People are taking more control over their family health in the face of this pandemic. And there's also an increase in options that provide indulgent eating experience, right? If you look at people seeking ultimately comfort to help them manage these difficult times, right? COVID-related anxieties, and ultimately still provide the treat to replace the lost dining out opportunities.
So, Harry, I'm going to be the one who wears the cynic's hat in the room because my question is, I'm glad you're ready for it. I just want to talk about defining the functional ingredients and these super ingredients and whether or not this is a marketing gimmick.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And if you look at according to the nutritional bodies like the British Nutritional Foundation, the term functional ultimately is described as foods and drinks that are enriched with particular nutrients or substances that have a potential positive influence on health over and above their basic nutritional value. So a functional ingredient, which I think is important to define, ultimately is defined as a dietary ingredient that affects its host in a targeted manner to exert positive health effects. In other words, food containing these ingredients have health-promoting properties above their nutritional values.
Okay. Harry, I'm curious though, because, you know, Manisha talked about the marketing aspects of it. You know, maybe it's all a marketing gimmick, but if you are really looking or consuming it, you're going to have to maybe search out what super ingredients are and search out its benefits. Do you see a correlation, you know, people actively looking for what super ingredients are and then purchasing these ingredients in their food?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And maybe I can relate it to three key sort of trends that I see coming out of this outbreak. Right? One is fiber fortification. Mm. Two is sugar reduction. And three is clean label. Let me just elaborate a little bit more on those three key points. Fiber is ultimately a nutrient that most nutritional experts will recommend that we add to our diet. We're simply not consuming enough fibers. And consumers are also seeking these out. So if you look at the Asia-Pacific region over the last 5 years, the number of new products that have been launched with high fiber claims has increased by 10% on an annual basis. And health benefits, you know, and these have been proven ultimately scientifically, supporting weight management and healthy blood sugar levels, and are important, of course, with regards to the issues that we have with obesity and diabetes. Mm-hmm. And there's also growing evidence that shows the benefits of gut health, bone health, potentially brain health. You mentioned it early in your opening, and immune health. And then there's the additional benefit that it also replaces sugar in food and drinks. Now, if you look at sugar reduction, that's definitely on the rise, right? You look at the number of products that we have with reduced sugar or low sugar claims, that's up 20% year over year in the last 5 years. And sugar ultimately still plays a very important role in recipes. It adds color, texture, shelf life, moisture. But ultimately, the ingredients that are replacing sugars are growing in popularity in the food and beverage industry. And if you look at the areas of where we are partnering with consumers or customers, this is definitely on the rise. Now, the last one I would say is clean label. People are ultimately looking for simpler, more familiar ingredients, right? Shorter ingredient lists, natural ingredients. So if you look at low-calorie sweeteners from nature, for example, like stevia or monk fruit, there's a potential massive increase in popularity. So you look at the product launches in Singapore using stevia, it's increased by more than 36% year over year in the last 5 years. So these are the key three areas where I see the trends definitely being increasing: fiber fortification, sugar reduction, and clean label trends.
Okay, you talked about label, just a very quick one. You know, you have all these, without naming names, you have all these alternate meat products. Do you see or have you heard of, you know, people more actively searching out, even though it's marketed as, okay, this is an alternate meat, they actually take the time, especially the younger consumer, to look at the label, the percentage of sodium and whatnot that's inside?
Yeah, no, absolutely, Elliot. It's you're seeing a dramatic change and shift. And I always go back to the time that I spent in China, a few years ago versus now. People are much more conscious of ultimately what they're putting into their bodies. And people are looking at these labels, which I think is a very good thing. So people are much more conscious of what ultimately this happens. And that's where I think, you know, it's so incredibly important with, for example, like working together with the Health Promotion Board. I think we've done a super job in making sure that the consumer is much more aware, because that's the crucial piece, right? The Generation Z needs to understand what they're ultimately putting into their bodies.
Mm. Yeah, actually, and sometimes those labels can be quite alarming when you finally realize what it is you've been putting in your body. Speaking of which, let's talk about immunity. Earlier, you talked about fiber, you talked about other components of and various food ingredients. Is there, you know, that we've got people are trying to consume ingredients to help them with this fight against COVID-19. What is the role that food ingredients such as fiber play in supporting immunity?
Yeah, that's a great question, Manisha. So if I look at answering that question into mainly four components, one is just, first of all, just explaining with regards to dietary fibers, ultimately have a range of health benefits, right? It promotes healthy digestion, it supports low glycemic response, it improves the calcium absorption, and there's also evidence now emerging that these prebiotic fibers also play beneficial roles in immune health. And this is ultimately based on research, right? You look at soluble corn fiber, for example, is ultimately beneficial for the gut health through various mechanisms such as beneficial impact of the composition, the grow activity of microbes in the gut, as well as production of short-chain fatty acids. And the gut plays ultimately a crucial role in the immune health. And it's ultimately critical with regards to that we keep on building, let's say, the robust scientific backing of this. And there's existing promising facts, for example, like work that we've done with A*STAR to promote this. Now, with Tane Lau, if I specifically look at one particular one of our products, we have a team of nutritional scientists and regulatory experts who help manufacturers ultimately understand the role of ingredients and the recipes and the use of appropriate health claims. So, for example, our Promoter, which is a soluble cauliflower, has a number of health claims approved around the world, which means that food and manufacturers and drink manufacturers can add these health benefits to their packaging. And these then include classifications of prebiotic fibers, as well as fibers on glycemic response and calcium absorption. But there's still a lot of work ultimately to be done, and that's reasons why we work together with the Health Promotion Board and A*STAR to keep on updating that research. But very encouraging.
Yeah, you talked about how, you know, Tane Lau has been helping to support F&B brands, new product development and reformulation. But, you know, there was a circuit breaker period. We are still in the middle of a pandemic. How has that support had to change amid COVID-19?
Yeah, no, it's a great question because, of course, a lot of the look at the food manufacturers, you know, a lot of us are still simply working from home. So you got to find out virtual ways of ultimately supporting, let's say, your customers to still keep on doing those innovations, because the innovations ultimately don't stop. And with every single drink product or unique recipe, you know, the ingredient delivers a certain function. And we have it all, of course, in the ingredient toolkit available to help manufacturers tap into these trends and to ultimately come up with solutions that to make sure that ultimately taste, for example, is not compromised.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about my children because, yeah, you know, I want to get them to be more healthy, but I just can't stop them from reaching for the cookie. And this will be familiar with you. I kept on having the request for golden syrup, which is one of the oldest brands, right? In fact, even has a Guinness World Record for being this oldest recognized brand under the Tate & Lyle brand. It's tricky, isn't there, to kind of proceed with that type of education and move and shift a business like this?
Yeah, but Manisha, you're absolutely right. I mean, I've got an incredibly soft or sweet tooth. So I've got exactly the same issue as your children. So if you put a piece of chocolate in front of me, it's going to be devoured. It doesn't stand a chance. But it is incredibly important, though, if you look at some of the new products that are coming out of the market, taste and mouthfeel are absolutely crucial. And educating the Generation Z and the younger generation about the health benefits that it ultimately helps. And if you look at muffins that we've, you know, produced together with our customers, or ice creams, or even chocolates with 25% less sugar, you know, these ultimately are great, great products where ultimately taste and the mouthfeels are ultimately not compromised. And the great examples of this is, for example, like mooncakes, right? We put together with Tung Luk, you know, produced mooncakes which are 30% reduced in sugar and fortified fiber. Or, you know, having grown up in this part of the world is the Nestle Milo brand, which we all as kids were drinking. Well, we've now introduced a 25% sugar reduction. But key is, though, make sure that the taste and the mouthfeel is not compromised. Yes. That's the crucial key ingredient.
I'm not going to lie, my mouth's watering the thought of all of this. But you know, I was just thinking about the challenge of that. You talked about education there. Part of the issue is it's actually recipes. So I recently bought a couple of books, recipe books, which were all about how to cook without sugar. And they introduce you to substances like stevia. I wouldn't have known about it had I not read that book. So how do you get around the education part?
Yeah, I think it starts really, really early on. I mean, for example, we're doing programs, around the globe with educating kids at a very young age, right? So you got to make sure that the Generation Z or the younger generation really starts educating themselves, you know, at a very young age. And I think that's where it all has to start. But it's also, you know, with working together with people like the Health Promotion Board or governments, regulators, to make sure that people are just made aware of what they're ultimately putting into their bodies and educating people, right? The amount of ingredients that are out there and growing is rapid, right? Stevia, there's only not one particular stevia. There's a number of stevia, let's say, products out there. Monk fruit is another great example, whereby you have, you know, different solutions for different issues or different challenges that manufacturers ultimately want to bring onto the marketplace.
Well, it's been a great conversation. We've been speaking with Harry Boot, who is President, Asia-Pacific Food and Beverage Solutions at Tate & Lyle. Harry, thank you for your time. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.